does seem a little crazy to have a trailblazer, our next trailblazer on. So at this point in his career, I'm kind of 20-something years late. He's been blazing a trail throughout his career. You might have heard that the recently retired Constitutional Court Justice Edwin Cameron has been appointed the Chancellor of Stellenbosch University with effect from January next year. Now, Cameron is taking over from Johan Rupert, whose term ends on the 31st of December. He retired from the court bench in August, having served there since 2008, when he was appointed by then acting president Kgalema Motlanthe. He's well known for his HIV/AIDS and gay rights activism and was hailed by Nelson Mandela as one of South Africa's new heroes. We're so lucky that his retirement doesn't mean he will not still be in the service of South Africa. Justice Cameron, good morning and welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe.
Very nice to speak with you and to be with your listeners. Thanks, Refilwe.
Of course. Now, Justice Cameron, I have to talk about the reflection that you must be experiencing over the past 2 months. You've been a hardworking member of our judiciary for so many years. How has it been to take a bit of a breather since the August stepping down from the bench?
Thanks very much for asking, Refilwe. It's been quite a busy time.
Okay.
I was busy until 2 weeks ago with writing my last judgments. I delivered a judgment on the day I stepped down, but of course, you don't suddenly, unlike a hard Brexit, you don't walk away with nothing left. So I still had about 4 or 5 weeks of judicial work. And in fact, yesterday, my colleague Johan Frinneman delivered a judgment in a case affecting Stellenbosch. Geleka Kansa brought a challenge to Stellenbosch's 2016 language policy, and that was the very last judgment that I actually wrote, and that was delivered yesterday. Of course, because I'm no longer on the bench, I didn't deliver it myself, but my colleague Johan Frinneman, who was on recess duty, did. So it's a long answer to your question, Refilwe, but it's a pleasant change after 25 years of serving in the High Court, in the Appeal Court, and then 11 years in the Constitutional Court. And I'm looking forward to new challenges.
Indeed. And then that challenge that you just mentioned now, I was going to ease into the interview, but let's jump right in. You're moving from a position of a relative neutrality, of course, from the Constitutional Court perspective, as you rightly say, in the Stellenbosch University language case. And I suppose to a place of difficulty as your first, it will probably be your first sort of furor to deal with as the Chancellor of the University when you walk in the new year. From a legal perspective, you obviously contributed to this judgment, but just let us understand how Afrikaans members of the community, and particularly the community of Stellenbosch, should respond or should feel about this particular judgment.
Well, it's an interesting question, Refilwe, because in fact, all three judgments, I wrote a judgment which all my colleagues concurred in, and then the Chief Justice wrote a separate judgment, and Justice Johan Frinneman wrote a separate judgment, which he co-wrote in Afrikaans. He's done that several times. He writes a judgment in Afrikaans, and then it's published together with an English translation. Now, Justice Frinneman's judgment expresses some anguish about the position of Afrikaans, but he agrees with the main judgment that it was inevitable that we should uphold the 2016 language policy at Stellenbosch. And the Chief Justice, very interestingly, Refilwe, when I don't think any bright-eyed writers and analysts have picked this up yet, the Chief Justice actually has a comment about private tertiary education. He says that well-meaning and philanthropic donors concerned about the position of Afrikaans should consider founding a tertiary institution. Now, that may bear upon the controversy unleashed in Gauteng, where the MEC, Mr. Panyaza Lesufi, has had some comments about that. So the Chief Justice had said something quite significant, and I hope that the commentators will pick that up.
Indeed.
But Refilwe, the main judgment that I wrote was one that was sympathetic to Geleka Kansa's complaints.
Yes.
The university said, well, we're not really making much change. And in fact, we find, examining the difference between the 2016 policy and the 2014 policy, that it does disadvantage Afrikaans. And we then conclude that the university has justified the difference for reasons of access, racial equity, and embracing inclusivity. But it was a decision that my judgment expresses with a little bit of heart sore, and the heart sore comes out even more strongly in the Chief Justice's judgment and in Justice Frinemon's judgment. That we recognize, Rafael, where, you know, if you don't mind me applying stereotypes to you,
please.
I suspect that your first language might well be Setswana.
Sepedi, close, yeah.
It's Sepedi, okay.
But, yeah, you were right the first time, that's the language you spoke, but yes, but the tribe is Sepedi. Anyway, sorry.
No, thank you, Rafael, but the point is that all of our indigenous languages are under threat from this monster, the language that you and I are now talking, which is your and my primary language of business and communication, is a monster. It's gobbling up language space all over the world. So our judgment recognizes that. Geleike Kansa says we are 7 million Afrikaans speakers, mostly brown Afrikaans speakers, and there are 7 billion people on this planet. Can't there be space for us at Stellenbosch? And really the judgment says that that claim must be given sympathetic and respectful consideration, even though the university has justified the change it made from 2014 to 2016.
You know, so Justice Cameron, I wanted to highlight that minority stance, that as much as it's a large population, in absolute terms, in relative terms, it's a minority population. You yourself have been a champion of minority rights as a well-known and highly regarded gay activist, an openly gay activist since the 90s, maybe even earlier. And I wondered whether there were any parallels you could draw between these two occasions where a small group that is not necessarily, I think in the latter case, in the Afrikaans case, people would highlight potentially is harming the majority in terms of blackness. But are there any parallels we can draw between the rights that you were fighting for at that time, which of course was not at all fashionable, and where we sit at the moment, which of course in this dispensation that we're in with the rising tensions from a racial perspective, it isn't a popular stance to be sympathetic to the Afrikaans perspective?
It's a good question and a very good challenge, Rafael, and I think the answer is yes. You saying to me, you are a proudly gay man, and 5 to 10% of Africans, South Africans, the world, are LGBTI. You stand up proudly and fight hard for that minority. And shouldn't you be standing up and fighting hard for linguistic and language minorities as well? Yes. And it's a good point. And I think that's why the court in the Geleike Kansa challenge felt quite a considerable degree of humility and sympathy towards the Geleike Kansa challenge, because it's not just Afrikaans. I have close friends whose grandchildren can't speak to their grandparents. Perhaps the grandparents come from Sebokeng or from Northern KwaZulu-Natal, but the grandkids are urbanized. They go to suburban schools. They don't speak isiZulu. And I think the next generation of Sepedi and isiZulu speakers and of Afrikaans speakers are going to blame us, you and me, and our listeners, our adult listeners now, for not conserving Afrikaans and Zulu and all the indigenous languages. So your challenge is a good one. And if your next question is, am I being a hypocrite? Then
never.
Maybe I'll get more defensive.
No, I think
it would be a good challenger if you're
for sure, because your judgment. So the difference here, of course, is also access to assets and capital.
Exactly.
So the challenge raised by the Chief Justice with respect to opening a private Afrikaans institution, AfriForum has already spoken about taking that up. They speak about an Afrikaans institution, although one has a sense that it might not be all Afrikaans speaking. But that's a conjecture on my part. I'm conscious of the fact that I'm running out of time with you. So no, I'm not going to take us down calling you a hypocrite road. My dad would kill me.
There's a lot to talk about, but it's a pleasure to have a chat at
but,
least.
Yeah. I do want to ask you a question around, since I have you as a super judge in my presence, I'll take liberties. the state capture furor that's rising towards judicial spaces at the moment. Our listeners are incredibly frustrated by, relieved to see intervention by the United States, FBI, US Treasury, but frustrated by what they see as a lack of action in South Africa. This notwithstanding the raids by the hawks of Zandile Gumede's property, the former President Zuma coming into court at the moment, the State Capture Commission. Do you have a view, just in your understanding of processing the law and trying to do so effectively?
I think your listeners are justified to feel that.
Okay,
I think that people are justified to feel impatient and angry. I don't think there's been a lack of action. I don't think there's been enough decisive action. And I think that's a justified grievance that all South Africans can feel. Our country is in crisis. We're fighting for our independent institutions of integrity under the democratic constitution. They are in grave peril from people who want to take them down in favor of private looting. And I think people are justified in feeling impatient that more visible action is not being taken.
I'm with you. Justice Cameron, I appreciate that and appreciate that contribution and your time. When you come to Stellenbosch, please do join us in studio at some point.
I look forward to being so.
Very much so. Chancellor of Stellenbosch University, as of January 2020, the great Justice Edwin Cameron being very fair and measured as we would expect of a great justice. And that is our trailblazer today on Breakfast with Refilo. Blaze a trail to the office, please.